Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Thank you, Father. We bless your holy name. Can we lift our hands to heaven tonight? And I want us to do so with everything within us and bless it. We bless you, Father. What an atmosphere of thanksgiving and worship with joy before the Lord tonight. And I want us to be very, very, very intentional. Very, very intentional as we bless Him. Oh, we bless you, Father. Rakos tefrehe kebiletista pahara hiketishto. Ziflehi gosta blaham de kinos tefrein de ketish. We bless you, Father. We bless your holy name. We thank you. We thank you. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you. We honor you, Jesus. We bless you from the depth of our heart. As a house, we have come before you tonight to say thank you. You deserve all praise. You deserve all glory. You deserve all honor. Thank you. Thank you for Festival of Life. Thank you. Different families traveled from different regions. Thank you for safety. Thank you for peace. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for your hand that is so strong. It is not because we know how to do it, but it is of your mercies that we are not consumed. And we bless you. We honor you, Daddy. We give you praise. You deserve all our glory, all honor, all adoration. There is none like you, Lord. There is none beside you. Neither is there any rock like you. You do wonders. You perform miracles. You are God all by yourself. You are the one who crowned kings. The one who enthroned kings. We give you praise. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. We bless you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Say that amen with precision. Now say it with a revelation. I want us to give the Lord a big hand tonight. In the best way possible. Bless him. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Streams of Life. Let's give them a big hand. Amen. You may please be seated. Sit down for a moment with me. Amen. What a great God we serve. Amen. How many of us are truly grateful when we think of the Lord's goodness? How many of us are truly grateful? Or how many of you have come to the point where you have now commonized what God is doing and say, what's special? There's nothing different. There's nothing unusual. The elders will say, one who knows how to think deeply will know how to give thanks. Let me ask you one more time. Has God been good to us? Yes, sir. Are you sure? Yes, sir. Let me ask you again one more time. Has God been good to us? Yes, sir. I somehow didn't hear the wealthy house. Has God been good to us? Yes, sir. Let's give the Lord a big hand one more time. Amen. Now, I have three assignments here tonight. First assignment is to lead us to be genuinely grateful. I'm not also aware that we have many things to be grateful for. We do. I think somewhere around Festival of Life period, I stumbled on the picture of the inauguration service of the ministry 5 years ago. I couldn't believe my eyes. That 5 years can look like 10 because of God's mercies. And you see, one of the reasons why ingratitude is pride is because definitely you believe that what is working because of you. That is outright rebellion against God. The worst part is to refuse to see what is working. And say, okay. Okay, you are saying I should thank God, okay, for that. And then the devil now begin to give you a consciousness that that thing is also working in the life of unbelievers. So why are you different? And once you begin to follow that path, you are going to a path that is very dangerous. Because you come back and say, there is no God. And the Bible says only a fool says that. Are you following what I'm saying here? You see, when you ventilate your heart with gratitude, it will be difficult for you to be arrogant. Because you see God as the doer and the mover. Amen. Don't overrate your wisdom. You may not know as you think you know. Let me say, you may not know as much as you think you know. It is of God's mercies that we are not what? Consumed. I have told people, for those of us who drive, alright, let's assume you are a good driver. You know how to avoid trouble. Are you also the one driving in the one who is driving close to you? Are you following what I'm saying? We are hedged around with mercy. With mercy. Everywhere you turn, what? Mercy. What is holding the foundation of the building you are standing on? It's not science. Science is science because it is built on pre-existing laws. And those laws are held by the faithfulness of God. Amen. Yeah. Tell me about any law, aerodynamics, all those laws. They are established on something God left there. It is amazing how we take advantage of those things and say, this whole world is a part of a Big Bang theory. That bang must be inside somebody's head. Are you following what I'm saying here? It is, we are all on God's mercies. I think I saw a picture online. I'm sure it's not true, but all those memes of an astronaut wearing the old gear and saying, they wrote on the picture, I can't find God here. And there was also a comment, remove your oxygen mask, you will see him. Amen. And have you thought about it that the biggest things on earth are free?
Yes, sir.
They are free. You walk into a hospital environment and God forbid you have somebody who needs oxygen. To be on oxygen for 1 hour, thank God, right? You know how much it costs. That's if you are not in a place where they will come and be eating the cylinder. You know, things happen in Nigeria. Amen. I'm telling you. Breathe in. Breathe out. How much did you pay for that? It is God's mercy. You can't utilize the product of mercy and refuse to be grateful. Can we say again, thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
I didn't hear it loud and clear. Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, particularly for Sphere of Light Church, I want us to be grateful. Sir, you are not the only one who is being blessed, being in Sphere of Light. I'm being blessed too. That's the truth. Alright? For God to plant you in a spiritual family where His word comes per time. It's a gift that only God can give. And listen, nobody takes this privilege to themselves. Oh. No, no. I can't sit down and say, thank God for me. Ah, the work is beyond me. That's it. If I decide to misbehave today, God has replacement. Are you with me now? Huh? I go back to the teachings in the house and I'm like, what is this? So you are not the only one that they position me to. Praise God. Can we bless God for his word? That is not scarce. Do you know what it means to be in a place where there is famine of God's word? Where there is scarcity. Where there is scarcity. Ah, bless God for the abundance of his word. Part time. Are you truly grateful? Say it loud and clear. Thank you for the prophetic push that we get. For putting us in place. Oh, we give you praise. We bless you, Father. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we're praying. Huh? Sit down for a minute. I was at the gym this morning. I met a new friend, a medical doctor who is practicing in Saudi Arabia. Amen. He came to me and said, "You are Pastor Lazarus." I said, "I am." He said, "Wow, your messages have blessed us." Ah, sir, in Saudi Arabia. I said, "Yes." I said, "My God, see, we can't even count how far the messages spread. You know why? Because it is the counsel of God, and He has blessed us with it, and we must be grateful. We must." Anything you trivialize doesn't continue. Are you with me? Yeah. And I can tell you, right, I don't want to even go into that subject matter. But once gratitude stops, many things will commence automatically. The same way when light leaves, there is darkness. One of the things that commences when gratitude stops is dryness. Because ingratitude means that you don't know the doer. Don't ignore God, though. You can ignore anyone, all right, which is not good. But don't ignore God. Don't trivialize him. Don't make God feel cheap in your hands. Amen? And many of us have lost that virtue of saying it sincerely. Thank you. Many of you can remember the last time you prayed and thanked God for your food. Just, is that my food? Yes. Oh, all right. Just pick spoon. But you let this thing in nursery school. Some have food, but cannot eat. Some can eat, but have no food. You see that you have left those things. I have food, and I can eat. Glory be to God. Amen. You sang those songs, but you've forgotten them. And now we just realize. Some of you look at yourself in the mirror and say, "If not for this, my nose." What do you mean? Or if not for this, my eyes. I think we should give you sand to make another you. It will beg God to take you away. Amen. Can we just say thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Amen. I said amen. Alright, we're still going to have another episode of thanksgiving and worship as we round up. Amen. Now, quickly, I want to teach you on how to maximize the effect of prophetic shifts. Alright? I don't know how I'm going to do it. Possibly, I'm going to have to also teach and help us interpret the significance of the season that we are in. Amen, amen. Can we open those windows? Praise God. I said, praise God. I said, praise God. Now, I'd like for you to pay attention. Amen. Paying attention. God is a God of times and seasons. Is a God of what? Say it loud and clear. God is a God of what? Times and seasons. All right. And every meeting he calls. I can run you through scriptures to see. We will do with the epistles. All right. Each time a meeting is called, it is always for a significant reason. Amen. For instance, if you look at the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 2, there was a meeting called. Jesus called for the meeting himself. He said, don't go and preach. Go and wait, all right, in the upper room. Go and tarry. He called for the meeting. What was the purpose of that meeting? For the release of the Holy Spirit to dwell. Amen. So it was not just an ordinary meeting or a casual meeting. It was not for fun. He called for the meeting. All right. The meeting had a purpose, and the purpose was achieved. And that is one meeting we've spoken about, the Azusa Street Revival. Different revivals. We don't have time to go into that. All right. And most times when you study those moves, sometimes you study and you see how they begin to win and how they died. But the move that began in the upper room is still burning. It's not dead. And it's not dying. Till the archangel blows the trumpet and the saints will go with Christ. The fire will keep burning. Are you with me now? Now that's a meeting that was called. Now you see that in Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 2. Alright, and after Peter spoke, on the strength of the move of God in that meeting, amen, when he spoke, the same Peter that used to be timid spoke. Alright, they said these guys are drunk. Peter said, men and brethren, this is just the sixth hour. We're not drunk. So this is what the prophet Joel prophesied in Joel 2:28. It will come to pass that I will pour out my what? Spirit. How many people? All flesh. All right. And Peter began to interpret scriptures. And it's one of the burdens in my heart for this season. Follow me. That, all right, we need to go back to having a church where scripture is taught. Because now if you hear a child of God or a man of God say, God said, you can almost predict they're about to go into heresy. Go and check the epistles. What they were simply doing was interpreting scriptures in the light of Christ. And that's why you see that Paul used the word, this is the same Jesus or the Christ, more than anyone else. Because scripture testifies of him. Amen. Alright, another meeting was called in Acts 13 when certain prophets and teachers gathered with fasting. And the Holy Ghost said, as they ministered to God, separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them. That was a meeting called. Amen. So we are still seeing the impact of the ministry of Paul. So we understand through scriptures that God doesn't call his people to seek him in vain. Anytime he calls, there is something attached to it. So listen to me. If after a meeting, you can't trace the reason why God called for the meeting, it's because you don't have certain things right. I'm not saying your heart is not right. I'm saying there are certain things you don't know. And we can run through scriptures and check all the meetings. Something shifted. Something did. Amen. So I want to show you how to maximize the effect, all right, of prophetic shift of a meeting. All right, every meeting brings a shift. So how do we maximize the effect? I said while I was teaching in Festival of Life, I think day 2, all right, that there is no one that has anything significant about his life that is not a product of a release from above. There is nothing we have that we have not received. Quote me anywhere. Even the one that denies the very existence of God, it was released to him. Are you with me? Please listen. So what God does in meetings, come. I want to give an illustration. There are certain things that if you will have to sit down for me to teach you, the ideal is for us to enter into dimensions through knowledge. That's the ideal. We ride on the wings of the word. And that's why Jesus spoke in John 6. He said, the letter killeth, but the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The word spirit there means they are spiritual. Amen. What brought the shift to the woman that was by the well of Samaria? The word. What did God tell Abraham that brought a shift to his life? His word. That's the ideal tool. But you see, impartation covers up for the gap in the word. That doesn't mean the word of God is not accurate. Listen. What that means is, there are certain things that if you will have to learn to enter, it will take 10 years. But impartation bridges the gap. Impartation doesn't mean necessarily until hands are laid on you. Impartation is when something is installed into your life spiritually. Are you with me now? Are you following what I'm teaching here?
Huh?
So, what did... Now, get me, alright? Because now, more than ever, we have to be conscious of theology. But, what did Gabriel tell Mary that God had pregnant? He brought the word of the Lord. And there was a move of the Spirit. And what God wanted to do was done by the Spirit. Hello, hello, are you with me? Uh-huh. The case of Abraham and Sarah, when God changed their names, it was God putting his words on their lips so that their conditions can change. Are you with me now? Uh-huh. But when Abraham met Melchizedek, Melchizedek didn't teach him. He blessed him. Are you with me now? So, if I come to you, the same thing I can lay hands on you, you begin to walk in, you can enter through teaching. But impartation is, we launch you there, but keep learning. That's what it means. Are you with me now? Huh? Because sometimes your understanding is not that fast as you think. It will take, if you have to wait for you to understand everything to enter, it may take forever. And that's why the church has to be a teaching church. Such that people are entering things, they don't even, somebody, have you seen believers saying that, hey, I notice when I'm praying, my hands is burning, my hand, something has entered that you have not been taught about. Having received it, sit down for the lecture. The same way you buy a TV, it is yours, but you need the manual to know the operation. Are you with me now? Huh? So I say, whenever I'm praying, I do feel fire, relax. The move of God is not just trapped in feelings. That doesn't mean you won't feel something. But there is a body of knowledge in scriptures that as you learn the ways of the Spirit, you can understand that, okay, this is the reason why I'm feeling this. So there's no such thing as anytime you feel a burning in your left hand is healing. It can be something else. That's why you have to be taught. Are you with me now? Huh? That's why we get impartation in our spirit. And that's what happens when you come in a charged atmosphere. You are implicated. Your spirit is receiving things your mind will later learn. And sometimes you have learned, but you have not risen in faith. By the presence of God in that atmosphere, your faith can reach out to receive. Please follow me, alright? I want to launch you into something so you can understand. Now, look at this. So, everything significant in your life is a product of a release from heaven. And that's why for more significance, you have to yearn for heaven's release. Praise God. You have to yearn. For instance, you can sing. It can be a natural talent that you were born with. All right? It was embedded in your DNA. As you were growing, your vocal cords, your voice was opening, you discover that there's an ability there. You may have to learn how to sharpen your voice, but you met it there. That's a natural gift. But to come to the point where when you sing, the atmosphere is soaked with God's presence, that one you need to be imparted. You need to learn. Amen. So if you leave yourself at the level of the natural abilities alone, you may wow some people, but you cannot bring the kingdom down with the level of your natural abilities. That's it. Let's look at something else. For instance, you can be a diligent person who knows how to work and make some money. But you can also enter into the covenant of prosperity. When Isaac was digging well and was finding water, it was not like the Philistines don't know how to dig. But there was a covenant at work with him. Are you following what I'm saying here? And that's why you must thirst. You must long for the things of the Spirit. Alright, I don't want to belabor this. So I don't overstretch you. Praise God. Even teaching the word. There's a natural dimension where probably you've taught in a secondary primary school. Say, what did I say after? That one is natural. But you come to a point that, are you with me? That the anointing that teaches sit on you. One of the first things that will happen is that you begin to understand scripture in a different light. The same way you can have KFC, Chicken Republic, give me more names. Country Kitchen, McDonald's, And they all make chicken, for instance. Alright, let's say grilled chicken. But it won't taste the same way, but chicken is chicken. True? That's why you can have 20 teachers, but the ingredient is different. Because what comes is unique to your purpose. I feel I'm boring you. That's the feeling. That's the feeling. Amen. I can give you one more example. You can be a smart person, but that doesn't mean you have the spirit of wisdom. Because wisdom of the wisdom of this world, it destroys. It destroys. And you can see the sum total of the wisdom of this world in their quotable quotes. You like me, you don't like my achievement. Move away. You saw the video. Okay. And so that's the wisdom of the world. But the wisdom from above is deep. It doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't look like the natural things. Alright? And that's why Bible can say that if the prince of this world had known, he would not have crucified the King of Glory. He didn't know. God, that's God's wisdom trapped there. It will amaze you how that Isaiah said it, David said it, the law and the prophets spoke about him, but even the devil does not understand. And I make bold to tell you that let's assume Jesus has not come to die. You would have lived and died and not even know it too. Because this is a wisdom that needs to be unraveled. So if you don't listen, if you don't understand this, you will not understand the reason why John said in Revelation 5 that I wept because none was found worthy to open the seal, the scroll. So you feel, John, why are you weeping? Because you already, something was sealed about the fate of humanity and man was about to enter. without having an idea. You don't understand. So he said, I wept. Sometimes you have to grow in intimacy to know the value of the things you trivialize. They are valuable, but the level at which you have held God. The same way, if you are in a local church and you hold your pastor like a pinch of salt, you never see the value. But if you grow, your heart is adjusted, your heart is healed, and you are helped. The same person, you now begin to see that, hold on a minute, his word doesn't fall to the ground in my life. Ah. So you shift in honor when your perspective shifts. That's the way it works. So you may say, I'm wise. And you look at your life, what your own wisdom has produced. Ah, if you are subjected to higher wisdom, you will shift. Yeah. I'm just giving you the difference. Is that clear now? Praise God. I'm taking you somewhere. Let me give you one more example. Okay? You can be naturally fine. It's natural. There's a way your head is, your high heels, your nose is. But there's something called the glory of God. Your natural beauty, the highest place can set you is where they are doing beauty pageants. And those who say, ah, you are fine. But the glory of God can give you accommodation where beauty is limited. That was what Esther had. All the other girls were fine. Something made the king stand. Do you understand? If not, you'll just be saying, fine boy, fine boy, fine boy. And the highest you do it is to give birth to a fine child. Without favor and grace. Suspend those things and reach out for something higher. Yes, see, listen. There's something called the leverage system. Okay? In Nigeria, there's really no leverage system. I want to give an example. But have you found out that when you travel out, sometimes you can jam your politicians on a train. They are riding, no escort. They are there. You can sit with them and say, no be you, they chop our money. They are there because the system leverages everyone. Sometimes even ministers that are doing shakara for you in Nigeria, you can jam them in America or UK and everybody just this, you do this. They say in Nigeria, this thing can happen because the system brings everyone to the same level. What you have naturally may put us apart. What comes from God is the leverage system. It humbles everyone. Leverage. Let me leave it. If you get it, you get it. All right. You may be born in a family that is richer than me, but the leverage I have is the grace of God. I can leave you behind if I understand this. You may be born in a country whose economy is better than mine, but the leverage I have is the glory of God. Your country can call me. What I'm saying is that the natural thing can put us apart and give us different standing. But it doesn't end there, sir. It doesn't. That's the truth. There's something above. I shared the story when I went to my NYC camp. I was in a season of Gary before going. But the woman I met said, your skin. Till today, I don't understand what she mean. If my skin was glowing, it was Gary. Hey, look at your skin. How are you coming with the food? I say, me. But there's a leverage. Favor. Favor is a leveler. It's it's a leverage. In the natural, can anything come out of Nazareth? But when the leverage system speaks, even the Messiah. Are you with me? So don't sit down and mourn about the undulated structure of the head. Reach out for the leverage system. And that's what we do when we come for meetings. That God, I understand that anyone who is naturally born with this condition that I'm born in, or with this situation, they don't rise beyond this place. But you are the lifter of men. And the Bible never said there's a height where you stop lifting men. So I reach out for that lifting. You see. There's nothing like, Omo Baba Lo, you see, you can be. Your father can have. I am not your father. Brother. I shouldn't have said this, but I will leave you with it. If you get, this is the part I will say, if you get it, you get it. Come. Now, you may envy a man for what the father has. Maybe the father is the first of that kind in the generation. He is the second generation of that blessing. Okay? But you are the first generation of what God is doing in your family. Don't struggle for what is on the second gen. It is what is on that first generation. That's what you have. You don't understand. There are many second generation friends you have. That what you actually, what you are receiving is what is on their father. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, leave it. All right. Don't let me leave my teaching. Please sit down. If you get it, you get it. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
So you can brag, and my child is the one that is after your kind. I'm after the kind of your father. We are the first of a kind. So brag, do. Do you understand? Do you get it?
Yes, sir.
Some people are still looking. What does he say? What does he say? Oh, the Lord. Okay, let me leave that. Praise God. Now, I see many first generation individuals rising from here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The grace to cross the limit that no one crosses. It's a grace, sir. It's a grace. In different aspects. You will cross it without breaking. The first generation grace sit on your life. And you break through without struggling. What others have not been able to do for years, you will get it done by His, with His. I say again, you will get it done with His. Yeah. Type it everywhere. The first generation anointing is on my life. I think God wants me to speak about this for like 2-3 more minutes. Okay? So when the first generation grace for breakthrough is on your life, don't compare your battles with a second generation individual. He's a beneficiary of something, a well that has been dug. All right, so you don't just sit down and say, everything after their kind. First, after the order of the first. Do you understand anything? I looked at my, while we're coming down from Ibadan, I looked at my daughter on flight with us. She was just enjoying herself and eating everything. They will bring this, she was eating. You say, that one, I want to drink it. I was looking at her. Alright? I entered the plane for the first time at age 27. She's been flying. Are you with me? I was in a meeting perhaps some 3-4 years ago. They were with friends. They were asking us to mention the number of countries we've been to. So I told them, I think 5 or 6. I said in my heart, don't ask me what country.
Some country is just as like you have gone to Abulegba. So I said, are you aware there are countries you step into, you don't even know you have left Nigeria? In fact, Nigeria is better. I'm telling you. They will be telling you that, are you a Nigerian? I like you. Girls will be running, yeah. You don't know. Look at you. You are angry that you're a Nigerian. They are looking for you. Hey. Stop murmuring. Everything after their kind. Okay? One time I look at my circle of friends, I saw that I have many second generation breakthroughs amongst them. Father, a pastor, worked, has labored, has a name, has establishment. This one, yeah. I look at myself, I say, I'm not like these guys. That's the truth. There's only one thing that can help me in this life. The leveler, the leverage, the hand of God. That's the only advantage. If we should leave it to natural occurrences, people like me should not rise. But sir, that hand is there because God knows that there can be a fault in foundation.
Yes, sir.
Don't. Are you following what I'm saying? You may not be able to brag like others. Focus on the hand of God. I came to church this evening, you know, the radical transition coming from Ibadan and then coming here, and I stood in the office and I looked through the window, and God reminded me again. He said, I told you that I will give you a city in this city. I have not changed my mind. See. Sir, the covenant of God is with this house. God told me years back, we will have our own university. He showed me where it will be. Anytime I pass there, I say, I'm coming back to buy this property. Don't live your life without prophecies you are running with. That's a dangerous way to live. What will you contend for? What will you contend with? Let me leave that there. So I'm going to run you through this quickly. Amen. Let me run you through this quickly. How do you maximize the effect of shift? Yeah, Festival of Life has come. There's a mighty shift. There is this and there is that. But how do you maximize the effect of that? Number one, discern. Discern times and seasons. Discern the shift. Anything you don't recognize is likely not yours. The sons of Issachar understood, they discerned times and seasons. And one of the things they did that happened was that their men, their brethren, were at their command. Do you understand? Let me give you an instance. This is a very simple example. Imagine two people riding on a bike. Are you with me? And then someone is about to accelerate. The one at the back must be alerted. There's a word like that. Yeah. Must be placed on alert. So that as he moves, you adjust. The essence of discernment of times and season is to change your posture with the new thing God is doing. If you maintain the old posture in the new move, you have missed out. So, listen. The man at the pool of Bethesda said that an angel comes down every year to steer this. But listen now, the one who is the resurrection and life is the one speaking. The angels come in respond to the word of his command. Are you following what I'm saying there? So he's saying that the guy did not understand. Jesus did not say be healed. Me standing here, your season has come. Pick your bed and go. To say, he said, do you want to be healed? That's a question that should help him adjust his posture mentally. The guy said, I have no man. Who is asking you? Do you want to be healed? He said, I have no man. What's your problem? Pick your bed and go. The guy picked. When he says, pick your bed and go, to lie down is not an activity of the spirit. But just. So, now, listen. Sometimes the reason why adjustment is difficult is that what the new season is saying you should do is something you have done before when the season has not come. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, you have a track record of doing it before and you failed. What I'm telling you is that the demand of a new season is not necessarily a new thing. But it will give new results because the time has come. So sometimes you did certain things, it did not yield because the time has not come. Nothing works like the idea whose time has come. Are you following what I'm saying? This I know. And when it is something you have done before and there was no result, do it again. I wanted to give examples, but I don't have energy for the example. I don't have energy. Amen. And that's why I said I want to get out of counseling to a very large extent. So, but should I send or should I not send? I should not send. Are you sure? I won't give this example. I won't. All right. So what discernment does is that discernment helps alignment. When you discern, you align. Amen? Yeah. When you discern, you align. You align. It helps alignment. Praise God. I said, praise God. I'm showing you how to maximize. Now, one of the things the devil does is that the moment you have received something, it will try to communicate the presence of the opposite. Amen. That is, sometimes, the moment the grace and the wisdom to prosper comes, you may go broke immediately. That's like adversity, the sun that scorched the seed that fell on the rock that dried it up. So you are being tested with adversity, not from God. The devil is trying to use adverse situation, most of which you created with ignorance, to check you out. And what happens is, will you hold on to the profession of your faith? That it doesn't matter that we have received word that this season is for this, and I'm checking my account now. 2,000. What we say 2,000 is even money. I still insist that the time is now. Yes, that's a child of God. Yes, that's the one who knows God. That is, you don't determine God's posture by your pocket. It is His word that shows you where He's standing. Yeah, because people just move from huge program where they were so inspired and blessed, and they go from discouragement. We don't even know what we have even received, self. We don't even know. And that's what happened to John the Baptist. He said, go and ask him. Is he the Messiah? Were you not the one who said, behold the Lamb of God? I'm saying that don't hold these things in feelings. Do you understand what I'm saying? I have to rush because I don't have time. Number two. You need understanding of the significance of what God is doing. Understand the significance of what God is doing. What is God doing with this new season? Or of what God is doing or what God is saying? Most prophecies during meetings are not necessarily isolated from the move of the Spirit already in your heart. That is, the words that are coming are not necessarily new. And that's why you, listen to what I'm saying. You must have a life that there is a flow, a perpetual flow of the activities of God. What that means is that if I come and I say that this is the season of global relevance, listen to what I'm saying. That word will only work for those who have been having burdens for global relevance before that word came. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen to what I'm saying. What the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, the meeting is only the louder, amplified version of what is quietly going on. So if we say that this is a seed for global relevance, the one who has not even conceived local relevance, who is saying amen to global relevance, will not see it. Because God won't jump process. You must understand that it is a continuation of what is going on. And that's why you must allow God work in your heart. So that you don't come back from meetings and you're wondering what happened. Are you following what I'm saying here? Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you clear on it? Hello? Are you clear on it? Let me give you an instance now. If I call you now and I say, Adeshina, God is blessing you with a Rolls Royce. If you have not conceived Toyota Mazoo in your heart, how will you conceive that? That it is a word from God does not mean it necessarily installs faith in your heart. The implication of that, two things. Number one, allow God work in your heart and believe in what he's doing. Okay, let me give you an instance. I was saying this in the house. On Sunday, Festival of Life, I was so tired. Extremely tired. My culture is that I have to see as many as are waiting to see me, because I know we'll be traveling. A young man came. The brother brought him to me. He said, this is my friend. Please pray for him. I held his hand. I wanted to pray. But the only word I was hearing is, you are preserved. Your soul is preserved. Your soul is preserved. So I said, your soul is preserved. And I said, please don't be angry. That's what came to my heart. You are not angry. I said, he's not angry. I said, you can go. God bless you. Yesterday, they sent me a picture. All right? It was supposed to be on a trip. At the last minute, just say he's not going. The car, right off. Are you following what I'm saying here? Listen now. The guy escaped it. Not just on the strength of what I said. That word must have met something on ground. Do you understand? Let me just leave it. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I'm trying to show you how this thing works. So you don't feel, every meeting. No, listen now. What is God doing now? If I come and meet you now and I lay hands and I say, move into this, are you conceiving it? The Holy Ghost will not shock you with something. He has been saying it quietly. What he does is to confirm the word of God. He's not trying to shock you, he's confirming what is going on. Do you understand what I'm saying here? What I'm saying is that don't just open your spirit in church, open it at home too. So church can be a place of continuity. Number three, behind schedule, prophecies and revelations from meetings must of necessity translate to wisdom. Oh, in this season, there's going to be global relevance. Amen. Okay, what are you doing that will command it? It must translate to a wisdom. Wisdom is what you have when a knowledge that is correct is applied. Are you following what I'm saying here? Sometimes we just run with the ambiguity of prophecies. You are like a man that has his game but does not know how to roast it. Somebody met you and say, now, in the name of Jesus, go and shift. What are the activities you are supposed to plug into for the shift to occur? For somebody else, global relevance will mean take your work seriously. Let me share this with you. One of my mentees was working with an organization. I don't want to mention the name. And one time they began to victimize him and he told me he wants to resign. I said, still stay and learn. So that you can. Now he's in charge of something major for either FCMB or one of those banks. The head of that part of the bank. Alright, so he stayed, he obeyed. One time they were compiling lists. They told this boss to compile a list. The boss did not read it very well. He thought they wanted to give those people some special work to go and work. He put his name there. Let him go and work. He did not know that they're actually taking them to London for a tour. By the time the boss found out that it was London, he tried everything to change it. It was too late. I'm saying global relevance for someone may mean persevere. It means different thing for different one of us. What does it mean for you? Go and pray. So what is ambiguous will translate to what can. Even your body now cannot absorb food as rice. It will be broken down to an absorbable form. Revelation is ambiguous. Prophecies are. Wisdom is what is broken down into to be absorbed. You must leave every meeting knowing what to go do next. If you don't know it, it means go and pray. You must come out of place of prayer. This is actually my next activity. If you don't pray to know it, don't complain if you are at the same place next year. Don't complain. I know one of the things we must do as a church. I know what we must do. We have to get into the place of equipping. Oh yes, equipping now, not just training. Equipping. Men. I'm gonna run you through that. Oh yes. So there are activities I know that we're going to do as a church. We are going to be ready for sacrifice. Do you not understand what I'm saying? When they say you have come to a golden season, the golden church, what do you think it means? Gold will not shine unless there's sacrifice to go through fire. I'm not saying tribulation is coming, but I'm telling you that we are not going to move into this phase as a one-man championship church. All of us will do it together. Oh yes. Some of you who have not been serious with church, become more serious. Take it serious. Stop joking with destiny. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh yeah. So prophecies and revelation must translate to wisdom. Pray till you know what you should do next. Even if you're a man in ministry, pray now. What is our ministry supposed to do now? After this? What's the next activity? What should we do? Listen to what I'm saying. Because sometimes you must understand that your strategy is not necessarily wisdom. Don't overrate your strategy. Let me leave it there. Number what now? Number four. Run with the wisdom from the meeting. Now many know how to receive, but they don't know how to run with it. Many, because they are not durable, they are very feeble, they get tired, they get complacent. Some are just careless. Very careless. Very, very careless. The next thing after a major meeting, what has even changed? Sir? You are saying that for yourself. Oh. You can't tell me that. A lot has shifted. And things shift in the spirit realm first before they shift in the physical. So what that means is, long after a shift has occurred, you may not see the evidence. Amen. You will run with it. Let me tell you what it means to run with it. To run with it means to insist. Do you understand what I'm saying? To insist is that I am saying I refuse to change my mind against all contrary conditions I'm seeing. This is it. Many receive New Year prophecies and nothing happened that year because they refuse to insist. That is what happens. They refuse to insist. Now, listen to this. So you run to what God is saying in the place of prayer, in the place of fasting. Now, listen to this. When you run with the wisdom you are getting from a meeting, the wisdom will edit these five things in your life. I'm going to say it and I'm going to bless you. Wisdom will edit these five things. Number one, wisdom will edit your strategy. It will. True wisdom will edit your strategy. Number two, true wisdom will edit your value system. Sometimes some things you should value, you don't value them because you are not wise, but because you are powerful. You are just not wise. The devil is defeating you well, and you are, because you are not praying. And a man who is not in touch with God cannot be wise, because wisdom is from above. You will not know what to do in every situation. Do you understand what I'm saying? So true wisdom will edit your strategy. You check it. True wisdom will edit your value system. It will edit your level of sacrifice. When true wisdom comes, you'll be able to pay sacrifice in many areas. In the place of fasting, in your area of calling and your dreams. You'll be able to burn the midnight candle. How will you pursue it when you know it's just right here? You give it everything it takes. True or not true? Oh yes. That's how it works. That's how it works. When people find true wisdom, they give more in their local church. Oh yes. They give more. They give more. You see, I'm saying this because before, oh yes, I was praying, you know, I have my own structure into, I don't like to talk about those things. But I got to a point before the first day of the Festival of Life and I said, I found it. I know what we are going to do next. I found it. You see? Yes. Yes. Every year, and I do that, I separate myself. Just leave the house. Alone. Pack A4 papers. With bio. Huh? And water. You can buy maybe like 4 or 2 bags of bottled water. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I decide, I'm going on a Daniel fast. Just pulse and water. Sometimes I say, don't give me food and nobody should call me till I come back. Don't assume I'm missing. I'm not missing. Till I, oh yes. And the only thing you may hear from me, that you will hear from me in that meeting, is I found it. And I said that to those who are closest to me. I call one of my friends. I said, I found it. I found the secret to grow churches anywhere. I found it. Oh yes. And you don't believe I found it. What happens to you in Abuja? You cannot be as calm as I am if you don't have a revelation. I'm not agitated though. I'm not struggling to get my messages out or push to. No. There's something I know. And I'm sorry to make it sound like that. I'm also not sorry. Because if you care to know, you will know. You will not be running through life with agitation. Oh yes. I don't have many pressure people have. Because I found something. I know that if it is gold, it will always be needed. I know. You can't take that one from me. If it is gold, it will always be needed. I know. So all this, invite me to your platform. I don't do all those things. I'm in Abuja too now. When will you call me to your platform? So carry me out to a sphere of light. What do you think? You think having seen the things I saw in Festival of Life that I'm interested in going anywhere? I'm now much more than ever not interested in going anywhere again, because this thing that we are doing secretly is working. It's working. So it's not even me. You are saying that you think I'll be happy seeing my face in newspaper in posters and say, see, it doesn't matter whether you say that it's not relevant or something. No, just leave me to face this work. The future is for builders. I don't want to talk about that. So wisdom will edit your level of sacrifice, because you cannot know more and not be more sacrificial. Then wisdom will edit your posture towards life. You'll not be careless. You'll not be careless once you have found wisdom. Oh yes, you'll not be careless. You are the one that will give appointment for 2 o'clock. You come by 2:45. And you'll be sweating like somebody that they bathed in hot water. You'll be looking very strange. See, actually, when you find wisdom, it will edit it. Yes. Because you don't know what you have lost because of attitude and character. Then wisdom will edit your posture towards God and his activities. Wisdom will edit your posture towards God and his activities. So these are the things that should happen go and listen to this message again. Then sit back with the messages in Festival of Life. It is not true that you can't get the atmosphere back. Hunger can re-edit any season. Hunger can. Oh, yes. I said hunger can re-edit any season. Oh, yes. So I want you to pray. And what is my own wisdom for this season? Now, listen. Listen. As a church, by the grace of God, I know what we should do for us to shift. But as an individual, do you know? Do you know? You should know. So pray now. Lord, I'm still vague. Open my eyes so I should know what to do. You have 1 minute. From the heavens, a new apostolic dispensation. Ancient mantles have been given unto me. Revival is coming to a city close to you. I have a mandate from the heavens, a new apostolic dispensation. Ancient mantles have been given unto me. Revival is coming to a city close to you. Heal the sick, raise the dead.
Apostolos,
cause revival everywhere.
Apostolos,
heal the sick, raise the dead.
Apostolos,
I have a mandate from the heavens, a new apostolic dispensation. Ancient mantles have been given unto me. Revival is coming to a city close to you. I have a mandate from the heavens, a new apostolic dispensation. Ancient mantles have been given unto me. Revival is coming to a city close to you. I have a mandate from the heaven, a new apostolic dispensation.
Ancient mantles have been given unto us.
Revival is coming to a city close to you. From the heaven, a new apostolic dispensation. Ancient mantle has been given unto us. Revival is coming to a city close to you. I stretch my hands towards you all and I decree and declare that the wisdom flow for the elevation and the positioning of this hour, the wisdom flow, receive it now. Amen. That with full persuasion in your heart, in this season, you will be able to handle that which you must do. Amen. There is no confusion in your heart. Amen. And I decree and declare
in the name that is above all names. Even as we are moving with speed, you will shift with us. Again, I decree the wisdom for global relevance in the name that is above all names. Receive it now. That somebody will be able to say, as touching tonight, Festival of Life never ended. I got mine tonight. You are not confused. And I declare a new season. I declare a new era. I declare a new atmosphere over your life. In the name of Jesus. It is done. It is done. It is done. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now, give the Lord a big hand.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 22150052 89 UBA.